All right, guys, we have two more stories, then we are going to take a short break. Why am I holding this like a stand-up? I don't know. What's the deal? With coming next to the stage, the Director of Strategic Innovation for YMCA National, this is Joey Nakayama.
Hey, y'all. All
right, so quick audience poll. How many people here, since it is Design Week, are designers or can somehow self-identify as a designer? Just shout it out. It's a podcast. Stop raising your hands. Just shout it out. Okay. All right. So of you who are designers, how many of you feel like you were destined from birth to be a designer? Like it was when you were 5 years old, you dreamed of having the job you have now. Your parents were one. Okay, awesome. All right. Okay, or you came from a long lineage of designers somehow. Right, so it's not too many people. I've got one, maybe two. There's a hesitant two. Okay, so that's kind of one thing that's interesting about this profession, right? Is everyone has to find it somehow, and it's always a process of discovery, right? So, and I love asking designers the question, "How did you become a designer?" Because the stories are always really interesting. So I figured that I would share my story with you. And if it's not interesting, it's Tanner's fault, because he's the one who invited me to this. All right. So as a child, there were already signs that I was going to turn out a little weird. I was obsessed with origami as maybe a six-year-old. I remember actually bragging to other kids and adults and, like, the cat, anyone who would listen, about how many steps were in something I made. So it's like, this turtle is 47 steps. And I don't remember any visible signs of admiration that came out of this, but I'm sure in their hearts they were impressed. And then I'd also do things like intricate drawings of trees. So like a branch splitting off into another branch and another, like finer and finer until it basically took up the whole page. Right, so in adolescence, this morphed into very detailed drawings of Metallica band members in charcoal. things like I made jewelry out of hardware store and office supply parts that I wore to high school, because fashion for me at that point was basically a giant social experiment to keep myself amused and keep everyone else around me just really confused. But high school I was interested in all sorts of things. I was interested in geometry and physics, the art classes that I had were the ones that I was most passionate about. Like, those are the ones that would keep me up late at night and not really realize I was losing time. But there too, I was also a little weird. I would get really into the creation of something, but then when it was finished, I always felt a little underwhelmed. And it wasn't necessarily because it didn't turn out the way I wanted it. And as a matter of fact, like, most of the stuff I did kind of turned out the way I had envisioned it in the first place, but it just felt kind of closed off in its finishedness, if that makes any sense. It's like it was done and then it was done. I never really wanted to repeat anything either. Like, I'd learn a technique and after that I never kind of wanted to do it again. I wanted to move on to something else. And I didn't know much about art marketing at that point, but I figured that was probably a bad thing if I wanted to become a working artist, like not having a completely inconsistent body of work. So when it came time to start looking at schools and choose a major, I really didn't know what to do. So I liked all these different things. I loved art, but I didn't want to become an artist because I didn't want to sell stuff and all of that. And one day I kind of had this epiphany that I was a process nerd. Right? It wasn't the thing that I liked. It was the creation of the thing. It was taking a new technique or a new skill and try to use that to create some sort of result. That was what really got me going. So when I found industrial design in an index of college majors of all places, I was like, oh, this could be kind of a cool thing. So I checked out some design firms. I checked out some schools. And I was like, this is awesome for a couple of reasons. One, it's got creative problem solving at its core. But it also allowed me to incorporate a lot of other kinds of learning that I had. I think the more you know about the world and other aspects of the world, the better of a designer you can be. So that was really exciting. And the second one was, it seemed like a good way to indefinitely delay any decision I really wanted to make about what I wanted to be when I grew up. It seemed like a good way to just keep learning things and try to mash that into whatever I was doing as a designer. So I applied to RISD. I got in, which was awesome. Someone else had a RISD story. No. Okay. RISD was mentioned, so I made it about, I made it all about RISD. Graduated, got a job at a consulting firm doing industrial design. So it was everything from like a kid's paint marker to a tennis racket to an implantable defibrillator. It was kind of like a huge, broad swath of work. So it worked out. But my process nerddom has served me pretty well since. For me, it's all about following my curiosity. And I've discovered that discovery in and of itself is a process that I can nerd out on. So that led me from the design of objects to the design of services and experiences and later on into more social impact arenas where just 3 weeks ago I landed a job at the YMCA's Director of Strategic Innovation, which is applying a lot of the same principles to big social problems. So that's my story. Thank you. And I hope to hear yours someday too. So thank you.
Yeah. I have for me an important follow up question. So who is your favorite member of Metallica to draw on charcoal?
Ooh, I'm not gonna choose. That would be mean.
Okay. For me, I feel like it would be Lars. He's kinda got like to draw. I'm not saying he's my favorite member. Come on. He's a terrible drummer. But to draw.
Dwight booing?
Yeah, Dwight is booing.